Good morning. Good morning, listeners. It is 0900 hours. Sunday morning on WJNI 106.3. We're on the Jay Rice Show, back in the studio. Last week, we had to take a pause, as everybody have to do sometimes, and get away from the studios, but a lot of excitement coming back in the studios this week. So glad to be through this airwaves and bringing information back to you and bringing you a little bit of my experience while I was gone. But nonetheless, it's exciting to be back. I want to thank Joe on the ones and twos. Joe is the man you're going to talk to first before you talk to me. 843-308-9564. Be nice to him. He might be nice to you. This is a talk platform, but let's get right into it. Got a lot going on. Shout out to David Mack. Saturdays, 1 to 2. David's a legend. David brings information to you, and then he tells me, not directly, but indirectly, make sure you follow this footpath, and you do the same thing. Bring the information to the people so that they can have it, and it can be said that right here on WJNI 106.3, the David Mack Show and the Jay Rice Show is a show full of information and also an experiences with real people, with real issues. So tune in, 1 to 2 every Saturday. Thank you, David, for what you do. Again, this is a call-in platform. Sponsors that make this show possible: Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, The Chronicle, the only black press here locally, Jairus Place, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters, Check Cashing on Rivers Avenue. But also, now the East Cooper Disco has relaunched this kitchen in Mount Pleasant. So now you can go to the East Cooper Disco Kitchen, which is, it's called the Low Country Cafe now, I believe. Those sons are going to add a little swag to it. But it's called Low Country Cafe. Open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Go check them out at the East Cooper Disco, formerly the East Cooper Disco Kitchen, now Low Country Cafe. Go support them. They support me. And they allow me to bring these information to you on the airways. A lot to get started with, right? Also, don't forget, let's not forget, that if you go to WJNI's website, there's a podcast. Under podcast, click on the Jay Rice Show, and you can listen to previous shows if you missed the show. So the information is worthy enough to be shared more than once. So you get a chance that if you miss one of my shows, you can go to the WJNI's website, podcast, the Jay Rice Show, and listen to some of the previous shows. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you allowing me to come through these airwaves. This is about me and you, the listening audience. And I know I got a million listeners. I know that. That's just how I feel. Also, go to the Jay Rice Show Facebook page. Enough of that. Excited, energized, new exposure coming back into the studio. Questions I have for you, the listening audience. You know how we do. Who is America? It's my first question. Who is America? What's the true makeup of America? And then I guess I got to ask the questions, you know, why don't we like each other? Is it just easier that we pretend that we do? You know, I'm guilty of that sometimes, you know, pretending that, you know, I like a situation, I like someone that just maybe I may not care so much about, but I keep respectful. You know, what's the expectations for the next generation, the future? We have to ask that question because when we look at what's going on in America, the question has got to be the next generation, the future. Where are we going? Help me. Help me. 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up to the Jay Rice Show. Help me understand where we're going. We have some amazing negative numbers. Negative occurrences with regularity that's happening all the time. Negative occurrences, negative situations with regularity. And I guess my take, and raise your hand if you remember something. I want to point to something because, you know, when you go away to a city, in my case, and you want to find a little more about the city and what's most passionate and what was an issue that most memorable about the city or the state or what have you. So in Nevada, I want you to raise your hand if you can remember this. Raise your hand if you can remember, and I can see you raising your hand. I got, you know, some glasses on. October 1st, 2017, Stephen Paddock from Nevada. Stephen's legacy, if you don't remember, is 1,000 rounds from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay, killing 60 people, wounding 411, but total panic and injuries, the numbers surmount to about 867 people. And it's alleged that Stephen Paddock was found dead in his room, alleged by a self-inflicted wound. Those families never got a chance to know why he did that and what was his motive. They never knew that. They never got a chance to know that. You know, why I bring that issue to you? Because it has a unique element to it. And it's not what we're seeing with black and white or racial undertone. That was not the case in that one. 2017, October 1st, 2017, Stephen Paddock. Bad person. But that was not the undertone. It was not black or white, and it was not the racial undertone. The white man, and 97% of those concert goers at Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip, 97% of those were white concert goers going out to have fun. They were going out to have fun at a concert on the Vegas Strip, a concert that had been going on for some time. So again, I bring that to you, the listening audience, and I want your opinion because it's a unique element. I don't think there was nobody running around at the time saying, oh, that's white on white crime, you know, or black on black crime. Yeah, I don't think that was the issue then. But I'll tell you what did become of that, and a lot of you probably don't remember it. 48 hours later, typically, tell me if I'm right, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't mind you telling me if I'm wrong. 48 hours later, we went back to business as usual. Why? Because these things are happening so often. I've come to the conclusion, in looking at the video of the Army officer in Virginia, which was very disturbing. I think what's most disturbing about that video is what those officers told him in the end, that he bet not go back and tell anybody, and that they would make his military career, they would cause problems with his military career. To me, I think that was a real problem for them to tell him not to tell anybody about that occurrence. Again, the video of the Army officer in Virginia, the FedEx shooting in Indianapolis, 19-year-old white male, kind of like Dylan, the stupid police officer that's on trial right now in Minneapolis, the shooting and questionable occurrence in Brooklyn City, Minnesota. I don't know why that guy had to get in that car. The January 6th terrorists that attempted to overthrow the government. That group was privileged and not warned the National Guards, our strong force. Those Capitol Police officers did not stand a chance. But immediately, listen to me, immediately, they're ready to apply full strong forces against protesters. Joe Biden has said that he's bringing troops out of Afghanistan on September 11th. He's bringing them home. My question is, will them troops that's coming from Afghanistan be needed on the streets of America? Do we need those troops that are coming from Afghanistan to be deployed on the streets of America? That's my question. But I got a bigger one. Listen in. Here's my question for you, your dinner table discussion. You all know the term, we the people. You know the term. You know you know how that starts. It says, we the people. I have added to that, and I've added we the people hashtag. I never knew what a hashtag really was, but I'm using it. We the people hashtag we the problem. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. The problem is not the Constitution in the language in which it was written, because it was purposeful. The problem is not the code of laws and the way they're applied. Problem is not local government. Our private and privileged sectors, you know, people, that they're not the problem. The problem is people. The people is the problem. So how do we solve that issue? When we have people, not the Constitution, not the language it was written, not the code of laws, not any of those languages that are written, statutory languages, whatever. None of that's the problem. Not even the stand your ground law. Just, none of that's the problem. The problem is people. Look at the pandemic. Just look around you. The problem is people. And unfortunately, I don't know that we have a solution. 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564. If you got the solution, but the hash, it is a hashtag. We the people, we the problem. That's the hashtag. I know what a hashtag is now because I got one. We the people, we the problem. I want to thank Demet Jenkins, Pastor Demet Jenkins. She's on the board of the International African American Museum. I want to thank her for that graveyard cleanup that took place on yesterday. Very well organized, very well put together event. You've seen it on the media today, on the press. If you haven't seen it, take a look at it. The next time, Demet, you have that, and I'm asking that you reach out to me early in the planning, because what I did not see there yesterday for an African American cemetery is a lot of African Americans on board. We can do a better job the next time, and I'll do it right here on this radio show to make sure we call out some people, to make sure we get folks there. Before I go, I got my guests on the line, but before I go to my guests, I want to say a huge happy birthday to my sister, Antoinette Louise, as my mom would call her. That's my little big sister. 40s, your 40s look good on you, Weezy. Happy birthday, and we'll talk later. Going right to the phone, I got my guest on the line. I want to jump right in. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
And good morning, our brother, and it's an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning, John. Pastor Dixon here.
Well, let me tell you, the honor and the privilege is mine, sir. I really appreciate you. I want to celebrate you. I want to thank you and all the faucets and the activities that you're engaged in. Pastor Dixon, you are a trailblazer. You are one that people can certainly look to for advocacy. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on with me this morning. Pastor Dixon, I want you to know, man, we got millions of listeners here on the Jay Wright Show. And and they're hearing who you are this morning. But let's talk about Pastor Thomas Dixon.
Yeah. Wow. I'm truly humbled by your kind words. Thank you so much. But I'm only as good as we are together.
There you go.
You know, no matter how much work I put in out here, it's all contingent on, it's not about me, it's about we. Mm-hmm. It's about what we can accomplish, because for far too long we've had people in leadership positions in our community, and their whole focus was on them, what they do and who they are and where they get to. And because of that, they were bought out by a system that's been put in place to limit the progress that we can have. I'm not down with that. I'm not down with that. I'm about collaborations. I'm about incorporations. I'm about working with anybody and everybody that's ready to fix this deplorable condition that we find ourselves in America in the 21st century. It should have been fixed, but that's all right. If there's a fight, then let's do it.
There you go.
And
obviously, if there's a fight, you're in for it, and I know you are. How long have you been on the battlefield, sir?
Actually, only about 9 years officially as an activist. But when I came out of prison, I was in prison from 99 until 2001. Mm-hmm. And when I came out of prison, that's when I started my actual activism and focusing on prison reform. Seeing as how I'd been in prison, mm-hmm. I knew the things it would take to fix the prison system. But then again, it was kind of hard coming off of 30 years of alcohol and drug addiction, coming out of prison, to get the community to accept the fact that this dude has changed, you know.
Right.
He's a new guy trying to fix the, trying to clean up what he done messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, by steadfastly continuing in work, I wound up getting put off my job when right around 2012, and that allowed me, because I turned 62 right around that time too,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to draw Social Security, so that gave me some income, and I was able to more or less move into the streets with advocacy in a wide variety of things that that needed to be addressed, everything from wages to public education to housing to gun violence, the whole gamut.
Well, your advocacy is obvious and it's present. There's no question about it. There's no, not, you know, if you say 9 years, what seems like 99. If you ask somebody who's Pastor Thomas Dixon, I don't think there's very, very few people here in the Lowcountry that do not know who Pastor Thomas Dixon is. You know, I want to ask you a thought. I want to get your thoughts and your takeaway from some of these most recent current events and occurrences. And then I also want to, I want you to kind of chime in on the Slager request for to get out early. You know, he had one of the baddest attorneys that I think I know in my return home, and Andy Savage. I want you to talk about that, but what are your thoughts and your takeaway from some of these most recent current events and occurrences?
Ooh, there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot going on. Let me start with the Slager situation.
Yes, sir.
And this is, of course, my own personal opinion.
That's that.
But
right.
I've watched and I've known Andy Savage for a long time. He's a very shrewd individual. He has no scruples, and he will do anything that he can in order to get his people acquitted or off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he represented the family of Denzel Cornell and the officer involved shooting down on the bay. And he didn't get a conviction against the cop with that. As a matter of fact, it never even went to court. Did nothing. So what's happening with Slager right now, what I really believe is they've concocted a plan. Savage is in on it. And said, well, you know, you might be able to get off if you just say that I didn't represent you properly. And that's exactly what he's doing. And it's ironic that the appeal started on the 12th, which was 8 days, or 8 days after the sixth year since the shooting of Walter Scott. And it's really sad because that whole trial and everything, I do believe it was such a toll on the mother and father of Walter Scott that both of them passed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Scott passed in February, and Elder Scott passed, I believe it was November.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was because of the toll of that case that put on them. So here they are trying to connive a way to get this dude out of jail. Personally, if he comes out of jail, I feel the same way that if Derek Chauvin gets acquitted in the George Floyd killing, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. This dude needs to be in jail. I don't care what his family situation is. His kids can go visit him in jail. Walter Scott's children will never be able to visit him anywhere until they join him in eternity.
Right.
So that's that part of it, you know. Then also we've had this incident this past week with this Army sergeant from Fort Jackson, drill sergeant from Fort Jackson, who wanted to accost a young black male for walking in his own neighborhood, amped up by some female, might have been his wife or somebody, amped up to just try to talk down to him and talk crazy. They even pushed him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what was amazing in the aftermath of that in Columbia, South Carolina, in the summit is actually a predominantly black neighborhood, where this dude said that he talked about his tight-knit community. He don't even know his own community. But the call went out. This happened on Monday. The call went out on Tuesday. And Wednesday, about 200 black folks showed up in front of this dude's house. And they were out there for about, I'd say, about 10 hours of peaceful protest now. peaceful protest, 10 hours, even though every news outlet, almost every news outlet out here, they focused on the fact that there was one person there who did some minimal damage and he was actually checked by the organizers that were there and said, don't do that. 200 people, one person did some dirt there, a little paint splash, a broken light, there was a window smash, but one person, and he was arrested. And the media outlets all talked about the peaceful protest turned violent. And this is what the police reports gave to the media, and the media amped it up. And I've seen everything from Don Lemon on CNN to our local outlets and all saying they started all of their broadcasts out with the destructive things that happened, and the protests went violent. And the reality is you had 200 black folks out there protesting in the street, young black folks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If all they had was a broken window, a broken light, and a little sliver of paint in the driveway, that was a long way from what I would see as violent. So here we have, once again, the media demonizing the Black Lives Matter movement, just as they've consistently done over time. Because in demonizing the Black Lives Matter movement, it makes it easier for law enforcement or even vigilante civilians to shoot black people. You see? And so that's why we have the Dante Wright shooting in Berkeley Center outside of Minneapolis. That's why we see the young brother, the 13-year-old in Chicago, Adam Toledo, being shot by law enforcement, you know, because been demonized, and the media plays a big part of it. Malcolm talked about that when he was here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Pastor Dixon, you know, I think, and maybe you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, I think law enforcement, they were really challenged in Columbia because what they saw was a new protest strategy that they really didn't have no idea on how to address or how to deal with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I did a Facebook Live last night about this whole thing with the media and how that one person played into the stereotype.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they didn't have that one person and his actions to talk about, they wouldn't have had anything to talk about other than, man, it was just a great peaceful event, 200 black folks in the street exercising their First Amendment rights, no damage done, no harm. That would have been the message. But instead, it got hijacked because of this one person and the media's decision based on the police report to take it entirely different way instead of just researching. They could have called the organizers and asked them what happened.
Right.
And the organizers would have said it was just that one person. So in other words, with the media, they took that one person, let's just say there were 200 people there. They took that one person and made that one person the 199 people made the 199 the one person. They took the peaceful people and made them the minority there.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of the broadcasts said protesters, violent protesters.
Right.
It was just this one guy.
Right.
This one person.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. Pastor Dixon, I like to get your thoughts on something. And, you know, do you believe as citizens and as taxpayers that we need to demand a referendum to be put on a ballot that no longer allows us taxpayers and citizens to pay lawsuits for one bad government employee? Does there not need to be put on a referendum on the ballot so that those families that are victims of that one bad employee, i.e. Chavez or Slager, that we're able to go after their pension or whatever unions they're a part of that represents them? You know, there should be no more suing the people. Is that am I on to something there, or is that something that we should at least be a conversation?
I think you're totally spot on with that assessment. We need to make government more accountable to government as opposed to the people. Here we have a succession of law enforcement officers that are and departments being sued and city governments being sued and the taxpayer dollars are having to pay this out mm-hmm. when there's no reformation, when there's no change, when they fight against everything that says we can do in order to change this. And one of the ways that we can change this is to make sure that the taxpayer funds are not funding these, what if they want to call them mistakes or whatever, they can call them whatever they want. But these murders, we can't let taxpayer dollars continue to be funding these, especially when they won't listen to us about changing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, to get have that on the referendum, I think that's definitely something that needs to happen. They need to stop taxing the general public for the mistakes that they're allowing to continue. I would say not only there, I think that if anybody that's purged from voter rolls needs to be exempt from paying taxes too. That's a sidebar there.
Right. Certainly. Yeah, because that's an issue. And I mean, because, you know, you look at the residents and the citizens of North Charleston, they paid, they essentially paid Slager's bill to the family on that lawsuit, you know. So, but I'm almost certain that if they went after his pension, or they start going after pensions and these unions, some of that activity will change because they won't be able to afford to keep up with the lawsuits,
right.
And it'll make them change how they operate. You know, I want to get your thoughts on something as well before I get you off. How dangerous do you think this new Stand Your Ground law is that's being proposed in South Carolina?
A new one?
Well, it's circulating throughout the United States, and, you know, states have picked it up. Ohio, other states have picked it up, and they're now addressing them, and they're in, you know, they're in committees. How dangerous do you think that would be here in South Carolina, and what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of a new Stand Your Ground law in South Carolina, because South Carolina has had a Stand Your Ground law in effect for a long time, and Stand Your Ground is a very dangerous, it's a dangerous situation, because it's just a matter of somebody saying, I felt threatened. And now with the way that they're relaxing or attempting to relax all regulation on gun carrying, that's going to really open up the door for some of that wild, wild west craziness.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems that I see potentially is the underestimation that these same ones that are pushing these bills forward, which just happens to be, and I hope that, you know, I know you're probably nonpartisan, but I'm going to just say what I got to say, is predominantly Republicans that are pushing for these lax gun regulations, but they don't realize the same thing that applies to them applies for black folks. Mm-hmm. So when you see black folks carrying more guns or whatever, and they feel threatened, they can expect black folk to pop off too, just mm-hmm. like the white folk. So I don't think that they're thinking their things out far enough or taking into consideration open carry or what they want to call constitutional carry, which is not constitutional, not constitutionally guaranteed. Or any kind of Stand Your Ground ordinances. We've seen too many cases of people who have been cut loose after killing black folks, in particular, using Stand Your Ground. Mm-hmm. That's got to stop. We've seen a few who definitely got caught up and thought they were going to use it, but are doing 20-year sentences now. So I don't think that Stand Your Ground is a good idea. It never has been, and I don't think it ever will. Wow. George Zimmerman proved that to us mm-hmm. in the Trayvon Martin case. Mm-hmm. Proven. He had no business going after that, after Trayvon Martin. He had no business stalking him, carrying a gun around in the neighborhood. And if anybody had the right to stand their ground, it was Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
But he was unarmed.
Well, you know, Pastor Dixon, I want to thank you for what you do. I really do. I mean, it is a privilege for me to be on with you this morning. And, you know, I know you're busy, and I'm not going to take up all your time this morning, but I really appreciate you. And we got to do this again. I got to get you in the studio with me at some point so we can engage the audience and have them give you a chance to answer some of their questions and their concerns. You're a scholar, and you are one that's out there. But before you leave, I had a parting question I'd like to, or something I want to make you familiar with, because I think you're the perfect person And I think this would be intriguing to you. I'd like for you to, if you become familiar with a collaborative agreement. It's the only one of its kind, and it serves as like an independent monitor for community policing reports. And it comes out of Cincinnati, Ohio, after the 2001 riot of a police shooting of a gentleman named Timothy Thomas. It was a federal judge, Susan DeLott, made it a mandate. So I'd like for you to become familiar with it, and then you and I'll circle back to you sometime this week, and get a chance to talk to you about that. But I think, you know, if you get a chance to look at it, it's the only one of its kind in the United States, and I think you'd be intrigued by some of the language in it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm in favor, if there's anything possible that we can do to change around what's happening, to slow the over-aggressive policing down, to get rid of the overflow of guns that have flooded the African-American communities, even though we don't make no guns. Mm-hmm. We have very few gun stores. Anything that I can do or read up on or study up on or adjust to help our community, let me know. And we'll not only talk about it, we'll put something together to make that move forward.
Outstanding, Pastor Thomas Dixon. It's a pleasure this morning, a privilege for me. You all heard it right here on the Jay Rice Show. But let me ask you a quick question before parting.
Mm-hmm.
Do we expect to see you run for office again in the upcoming elections? Can we get that on the Jay Rice Show this morning?
Yes, you actually can get it on the Jay Rice Show this morning. And that answer is, unfortunately, that I will not be seeking another public office. The run for Senate, U.S. Senate, against Tim Scott in 2016, and then the run for mayor in 2019 in North Charleston, it just took a toll on me, whereas I don't feel that as right now, as I'll be 69 this year, I just don't feel like I have that campaign spirit in me again. Now, it's not, let me just put it this way, it's not my intention to.
Okay.
I will say that I am a public servant. And if the public decides that this is what I need to be doing, they will speak and they'll speak loudly. I will not only listen, but I serve the public. Okay. So I can't just totally discount it.
Okay.
But at 69, verging on 69, soon to be 70, and still out here in the streets grinding.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I got another election in me. But if the public calls for it, they're going to get what they call for, because that's what I do.
Outstanding. That's well, Pastor Thomas Dixon, if you decide to make that announcement, please let it be right here on the Jay Rice Show first. Thank you so much, sir. It has been a privilege and a pleasure speaking with you this morning. You enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
I sure will make that announcement on the Jay Rice Show. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, you and your audience. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You all heard it. Pastor Thomas Dixon. The man is about the town. I mean, Google him, look him up, go to Facebook, Pastor Thomas Dixon. He's about the town. He is truly about the town. And again, 2013 is when I came home. I came back home after almost 30 years away in 2013. And I met him shortly after I came home. He's been out there since I've been home. We appreciate him. But more importantly, listen to his story about how he was spent time in that prison industrial industry. You know that prison industrial industry. That big corporation, that major corporation. The prison industrial industry, after him spending time there, coming out, trying to readjust. Great story, right? Because typically what we want, typically we get from a lot of pastors or reverends or those, is those ones that don't have any tarnished past whatsoever. Thank you, Pastor Thomas Dixon. You know, I want to ask a question. That Matt Gaetz guy, or whatever his name is, I'm okay with not pronouncing him correctly. And the Cuomo, and these men in power, does it seem that those guys, nothing stick to them. The Matt Gotts, the Cuomo, nothing sticks to these guys. I don't understand that. You know, I mean, most people are in the jail, are in prison for some of those same activities, but nothing seemed to stick on these guys. Is it selective enforcement? Tell me. 843-308-9564. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, Johnny Wright.
Good morning, Cousin Emily. I know you would be listening, and I know you'd be on the line. I got somebody else on line, but how were you this morning?
Fine. How were you, Cuz?
I'm well. What's your thoughts on some of these topics and these issues that we're addressing this morning?
Oh, brother. That I got a text message the other day from a friend of mine about an incident in South Carolina.
Yep.
And I said, that's where our family is from.
Right.
Where this young black man was walking through the neighborhood. I didn't get the full story of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a guy stop him and ask him, basically, what are you doing in this neighborhood?
Right.
What part of South Carolina was that in, Johnny?
Yeah, you know, it's up near Columbia area, up near the Fort Jackson, because the guy was an ex-drill sergeant, and so it was up near that area. I don't, I'm not familiar with the area in particular. Pastor Thomas Dixon was just talking about the community a few minutes ago, saying it was a predominantly black community, though.
Okay, now, he said he's an ex-military guy?
No, he is a veteran. Yeah. The gentleman that assaulted the kid, he's a veteran.
Oh, he's still in?
Yes, ma'am.
So he's in some trouble, I think, for what he did.
Let's hope so.
In fact, he needs to be.
Let's hope so.
Okay. That is horrible. That should have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who do you think you are?
Right.
You know,
right.
To stop somebody and then assault them.
Right.
He put his hand on him. He pushed him.
Yeah, and there's got to be some change. We got to find solutions and change. Yeah. I got another call on the line. It is always a pleasure to have you call me every week. This is Cousin M, so y'all make sure y'all recognize the voice. She's going to call every week. She's on the issues. Thank you so much, M.
Yes, thank you, and I'll talk with you later. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. All right, another caller on the line. Welcome, good morning, caller. Welcome to the Jay Rice Show, WJNI 106.3. Hello, caller?
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning? Thank you for calling. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
My name is Mrs. Carrie Richardson.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm on my way to church at Christ Temple.
Okay.
But I want to tell you that this morning, Pastor Dixon was on the ball here this morning. Y'all were talking good stuff. And I always talk to my husband concerning what's going on now between the black and the white. But, honey, thank you so much. Pastor Dixon could come back on and talk about the same thing. Your morning program on Sunday is beautiful. Keep on going. May God bless you and keep you. You hear what I tell you?
Thank you very much, ma'am.
And have a good day now, yeah?
Well, you just made my day. Thank you so much for calling in, ma'am. And I appreciate you listening. And encourage others to listen as well.
Bye.
Thank you. Another caller. They can appreciate what's being discussed. And it is just that. It's an open dialogue. 843-308-9564. You make up the show. I create these little monologues and I put them out there and we, you know, so that you can listen to them. But you create the show. This show is about you. It's for you and mine. 843-308-9564 is the show. I want to give a shout out to a gentleman. Before I do that, let me say this. You all remember when a while back I had a gentleman on my show, Nate Ford. Nate is the grandson of the oldest living person in America, at least was the oldest living person of America. That when he called into the show, he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, that oldest person has just passed away, Grandma Ford. She's passed away at age 116. She's from Charlotte, the Charlotte area. And, You know, I want to send a condolence out to her family. And, you know, Nate and his family members, they spend money here in the Low Country. They come to visit me. I don't know why they like me, but they do. And so they spend money here. So if we got any elected officials out there, the oldest person in America just passed away at 116. Shoot a letter or call that family and offer your condolences on behalf of the dollars that they've spent here locally. But, yes, 116 just passed away. I want to also give a shout-out to my boy, John Boehner. John Boehner is a former Speaker of the House, if you guys can remember him. John Boehner, our relationship is kind of funny because John Boehner family owns a sports bar. I mean, not a sports bar, but a bar in Reading, Ohio. And so we had this little round robin thing that we would do during the time I was there when we would go to John Boehner's brother's and family's bar and laugh, joke with him, you know, really good times always. I want to congratulate him on his book, but I want to also thank him for the ability to call out a few people in his book. In particular, he called out Ted Cruz, whose real name I think is Martino or Margarita or something other than Ted. Ted has given folks the bait and switch. His name is not Ted. His name is Martino or Margarita or something. You figure it out. But anyway, it's not Ted. So Ted is giving you the bait and switch, and my boy John Boehner called him out. John Boehner's a pretty cool dude if you ever got a chance to be around him and talk with him. So, you know, the issue again, we talk to it. We bring it to your attention. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, the listening audience, on what your thoughts on some of these issues. You know, I do want to, again, talk about the hashtag. We the people with the hashtag we the problem. What's the solution? Because the next generation is going to inherit all of this, all of that's everything that's going on. Where do we go from here? Who is America? What's the makeup? What's the makeup of America? What is it about why we don't like each other that these issues are continuing to happen? And well, you know, the question again, where are we going? We the people. We the people. With a hashtag. We the problem. So if I'm wrong, call up and tell me. 843-308-9564. Is the people not the problem? Tell me if I'm wrong, because all I'm seeing is people, individuals, that a problem. And, you know, again, I talked about Stephen Paddock and that shooting at the Mandalay Bay. Those folks were just only going to enjoy the concert. They were going to enjoy the concert, a concert that's been going on for years on the Vegas Strip. But old big bad Stephen Paddock allegedly killed himself. But he, 1,000 rounds. That's something that, you know, I don't know about Joe, but I've been to combat. I don't know that, you know, 1,000 rounds, that's some combat type of stuff. But these are the things that are happening. And they're happening with such frequency that we don't even have time to, even adjust. So we're stuck on a 48-hour period of back to business as usual because it's happening with such frequency and such regularity. You've seen the videos. We don't have to continue to talk about them. You make the decisions yourself. But what we need to do is we, the people, with the hashtag we the problem, need to look at how do we have a solution for the next generation, because it may very well be beyond us. Some of us may not have solutions. Again, I talk about Matt Gaetz and that congressman and Cuomo, you know, guys like them that are in power and that seems like nothing sticks to them. There are people in that corporation called the prison industrial industry for crimes that they didn't commit. There are people in the prison industrial industry for crimes that they didn't commit. While some privileged folks will never face punishment. Is that selective enforcement? I mean, it's easy to put somebody in jail. I mean, once you get them in court and, you know, the decision is made that they're going to go to jail, that part becomes pretty easy. But then there are those that will never face punishment. And then who becomes scrutinized? The victims. The ones that put it out there that based on what they did. Power. People in power, the last thing they want to do is give up their power. That ain't popular whatsoever. So hashtag we the people with the hashtag we the problem. So again, it's not the Constitution. It's not the code of laws. It's not government. It's not private. Those privileged sectors. It's people. People. And if you got a solution to this problem, I want to hear from you. 843-308-9564. This is your opportunity. This is the platform. The platform is to call up and dialogue and talk about some of these issues that we're facing. I'm giving you that chance. That's what this is all about. The opportunity to be engaged in the conversations. We got enough issues on the table. We got way too much issues on the table. You know, there wasn't a thing. I didn't have a problem when it was time to get back in the studios this morning as to where I was going to get information from or where I was going to pull information from. We have way too much going on all the time. Way too much going on all the time. So I didn't have to. That was not a challenge to get my show prepped together, to decide what information I was going to bring to you. You know, there's something going on, too, as well. I like to make sure I get your thoughts on. Reparations. It just passed in a committee. And actually, the vote should go before the House by the end of the summer to give reparations. I kind of always question reparations and how that would look and what all would be involved in that. But it is just passed in the committee. And it'll go before the House before the end of the summer. What does it look like? What is reparations? By definition, I know what it is. But what would it look like? I know in my recent trip to Nevada, you know, I know what the Native Indians got out there. I know what reparation looked like for them. You know, the no taxes and their own little city almost essentially. I know what it looked like for them. But what would it look like for us here in America? And how is that going to be? How is that going to be designed and orchestrated? We know what happened in Evanston, Illinois. So what will it look like, and how important is it that it just recently passed in a committee and it could go before the House? What's going to happen next? What is that going to look like? Is it time to address it? I don't know. I want your thoughts. I mean, I think there's been enough discussion about it for a very long time. And you know how things happen. We can discuss them. We can discuss them, study them, and then nothing happens. It just gets watered down. The more you talk about it, the more watered down it becomes. So what will happen in this case? Evanston, Illinois, they've worked it through what I call a Community Reinvestment Act to look at the reparations, you know, as it was said and as I've read. And again, I'm not the historian, but 60% of Black Americans came through these ports right here in Charleston, South Carolina. Is it time for our local government to be looking at it? Is it time for Charleston County representative to be looking at reparations and how it can be applied? I think there were some stipulations associated with the Evanston, Illinois issue where, you know, you had to have been a resident from dating back to 1920. You can trace your roots back to then. But nonetheless, it was something done about it. And at least there's some motion. So what is it going to look like? What will reparations look like for here in America if all cities were to take it up and to agree to it. I personally think that, and I've said this before, and I stand firm to it, that taxes has got to be at the forefront of that. Because when you start talking about giving people money, some people don't know what to do with money. Some people do not know what to do with the dollar. I think taxes, and if you've lived in a community and you can date back, as I often talk about the settlement communities that are in Mount Pleasant, if you can date back to your family inheritance or, you know, your lineage back to the 1800s when right after Reconstruction, when your family started buying property in those settlement communities, I think that's a qualifier. Would that be a qualifier when it comes to taxes? And again, that's the biggest threat to a lot of those communities is taxes. So, you know, I think taxes should be, and hopefully when the conversation does come up, and if you're a part of the conversations, please interject that. And then let's, you know, see how that also can be played out, because I think there's some incentives there where we should be looking at for long-term stability. And also at the same time to kind of ward off some of these gentrification issues that we address and talk about. Because just imagine if you were able to not to avoid property taxes for as a result of reparations for 20, 25 years. That creates some wealth there, and also at the same time creates some stability. So the fact that it's being discussed is all the more reasons why we should be talking about it. And that's what this show gives you the platform to tell me your thoughts on it and what you think. We the people, with the hashtag We the Problem. So how do we address some of these problems that we're facing? We have them. We know what they are. Nothing new. The issues that we see in, they're coming with regular occurrences. The young man in Indianapolis, was that a targeted shooting? Did he targeted a community there? That's being put on the table, you know, but that's kind of unique. But let's see. Let's see what happens. I think I don't know how much answers they're going to get, because, of course, he's dead. So let's see what happens there. You know, something I want to mention, too, this next week I'm going to really get a chance to talk about this. And I want to talk about, number one, if you've called up here, I want to hear from you. Before the end of the show, if you've gotten both your vaccinations. If you've gotten both of your vaccinations and you've done well with the first shot and the second shot, call up and I want to hear from you. And I think the listening audience should know that we're actively participating in those vaccinations. I want to thank all the group that has been working with the East Cooper facility in Mount Pleasant, Sandy, and Pearl Askew, and Craig Askew, and Rita, and Shell German, and I can name them all, Thaddeus Bell and Kylan Middleton and all those that's been working with that group. Thank you all for what you've done to get people vaccinated. And it really speaks volume to the need. And if you're one that has gotten both your vaccination shots, I want to hear from you. And I want to know, you know, if you're happy about that or you're excited, you know, this is the time. This is the time where vaccinations are being heavy conversations as much as the new results from COVID. We're seeing an uptick in some cases. So a lot of states and a lot of cities are relaxing standards, but vaccinations are going well. I mean, really well. And so if you're one that's gotten your vaccination, I want to hear from you. But you know, one thing I want to address, and next week I want to dig deep into this. So I'm going to give you a chance this week to put a topic out there for next week. So you can call now and get on the line and just get on hold until next week. Get your thoughts together. But here's a topic. Just recently I heard where there was talk about businesses that did not do well during the pandemic and that may not survive. And, you know, they weren't getting all the loans and to support the businesses, and you know, they look for them to not do well and to go under. And they pointed that those businesses were Black and Latino businesses that were that would most suffer as a result of the pandemic and, you know, may or may not survive. Well, am I right? Am I wrong here? But are they not the most, are they the businesses that are not, get that don't get full support from the government already? Black and Latino businesses? Am I right? If they're not going to survive, then it's because they've never really gotten full support. And so if they don't survive, that's not kind of unusual, because in order to, they didn't get the supports during this time, but they're not going to get them. But I'll tell you what has survived. Even though, hear me clearly, even though we've constantly talked about how this virus was a Wu-Tang flu and came from China and all this, that, and the other around the virus, I don't think, and I haven't read where not one of those Chinese businesses has suffered. Not one Chinese restaurant, not one Chinese nail salon, not those guys in the hair industry. None of them has suffered. How ironic is that, right? But the Black and the Latino businesses are going to suffer, are going to go out of business. With, you know, that same place that there's all this hype around the virus, around the virus, none of their businesses are suffering. How does that happen in America? Is this something that I don't know about? And by the way, I want to make sure I share with you that I'm fully vaccinated. I've gotten both shots. I got the shots at the VA hospital. I got the Pfizer. I'm fine. I was fine the day of the first shot. I'm fine the day after the second shot. In fact, I did the old military thing that after the first shot, I knocked out about 50 push-ups. After the second shot, I knocked out about 50 push-ups. And I'm fine. A little soreness in the arm, but that's practical, right? But and they just advise that you just drink a lot of water. If you're not a person that drinks water, which I am, I do, and just, you know, that's, you'll be fine. I am fine, so let me be that one that say to you, go out and get vaccinated. I got mine. I got both shots. I'm running around here. I'm pushing up, I'm doing all the things I have done. So there's nothing to change. And we know, of course, not everybody's built the same. So what affects me may not affect you, or vice versa, what have you. But, you know, the vaccination is important enough that they're putting a lot of emphasis around it. I want to thank my sponsors. You know, I got the greatest sponsors because they make sure that I am able to share this information with you on a weekly basis on the Jay Rice Show on WJNI 106.3. We got validation early on from the lady that's on the way to church. Says she is liking the information that we're putting out. So we got to continue to do this. And Ask Your Pain and Body Shop over in Mount Pleasant, Dorothy's Funeral Home downtown on Cannon Street, F Brisbane Mortuary Transport. Fred is everywhere, so you see the truck. VIP Bistro, that restaurant at 616 Meeting Street, The Chronicle. Supporting sponsor, the only Black press. Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. Johnson Hall Funeral Home in the old village of Mount Pleasant. Hannibal's Kitchen on Blake Street, downtown. The Family Seafood Market. Go by there and get your crab and your shrimp. Check Cash and Place. I'm going to go by there and cash a check tomorrow if I get one. And then, of course, you know, the new Low Country Cafe, formerly the East Cooper Disco Kitchen. Thank them. I want to thank them. And when you go by, support them, because they're the ones that make this show possible. I look forward to being with you next week. Stay in peace. Until next week, the Jay Rice Show, WJNI 106.3. Thank you.